Hey, everybody. It's been a little while, so welcome to episode number, 14 of the Drop Set. It has been, I don't even know how long it's been since episode 13. It looks like maybe, let me see, do I have records that go back that far? This says April. I don't know if I believe that or not, but I mean, sure, it seems reasonable enough. So, yeah, so it's been a little while. Hi, how you doing? I figure it's probably, you know, full disclosure, so I'm kind of flying without a net here for today. There's one topic I want to cover other than just kind of catching up on where things have been. I'm going to try and keep that relatively brief because I know that you don't necessarily come here to hear all about my life and hear my excuses for why I've been so lame. So basically, my wife and I sold a house, bought a house, have moved, and have been working on projects ever since. So there's a lot of stuff that led up to getting the old house ready to sell, and then we did it by owner, so that was a lot of work, you know, negotiating with real estate agents and being available for showings and all this crap. So a lot of time, and you know, still maintaining a full client load the whole time. So my strategy was just to focus on them and focus on not having a brain aneurysm. So I succeeded on all counts. So the only place I failed was in recording any podcasts and getting any extra work done and working on additional projects. You know, I've been kind of working on trying to get some workout plans available online. So that kind of took a backseat as well. So nonetheless, we are moved. We are settled in. My list of projects is shrinking to the point where I feel like I can wake up and actually do something. So do something voluntarily rather than, you know, having to get to work on a whole bunch of other things, which full disclosure, I love doing. So it's not really a huge problem. But it does kind of, you know, take away from some of the other things that I feel like I should be doing, like this, for example. So, so hopefully this will return back into being more of a weekly thing, a little bit more regular. So we'll see how that goes. That is the intention. In the meantime though, you know, I've been, keeping up with clients, you know, being available as always, bringing on some new ones. I've had some clients compete lately. I've been sharing their progress on Instagram and Facebook, so check those out there if you're curious. And that's pretty much it. So I'll spare you the rest of the gory details, and we'll just move on here. So I just have one topic, though, I want to discuss today. And I swear, my brain is a little scattershot, so I keep a lot of notes on my phone. Like, hey, these would be good topics for podcasts. And, you know, sometimes my brain, I feel like it's at pretty much capacity at this point. So whenever I think of something, something else goes away. So the problem then is I'll be in the middle of a set and I'm in the gym and I look over and I see somebody doing something just absolutely ridiculous. I'm like, mental note, I've got to talk about that at some point. And then by the time I finish my set, it's gone. So perhaps I can do a little bit better job of keeping myself organized there because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to cover. But the topic for today is weight selection 101. I get this a lot from new clients just starting out. I see it, you know, I see people in the gym who should be asking this question, who obviously have no clue how to do it. And that's, you know, what weight do I use on a given exercise? And how do I know if I'm picking an appropriate weight? So it's kind of a beginner topic, but not really. Because a lot of people make a bad selection, and then that bad selection will then generate years of bad habits. So it may be good, regardless of how long you've been lifting and how long you've been training, it might be good to go back to square one on this and reevaluate how you do things, and kind of try and take a fresh approach to it. So it all starts from, I mean, Let me go back. I've seen workout plans before, and you know, I work with, you know, people email me all the time and say, hey, I'm looking for a coach. You know, And that always starts a conversation. And so one of the things I will ask people is, hey, have you worked with a coach before? You know, sometimes they volunteer that information. And sometimes I'm just curious, like, you know, have you tried to follow any kind of formalized plan structure before? Because it's helpful in kind of trying to help place where somebody is in their journey. You know, are you just starting out? Have you been doing this for years, et cetera? And so a lot of the times, they'll say, yeah, I've worked with a coach before. This is the plan that I was following. And they just send it to me. I'm like, well, I didn't ask for that. I don't necessarily want to see that just because there's confidentiality things in play. You know, if somebody's has my stuff, I don't want them sending that to somebody else necessarily. So there's a little bit of intellectual property concerns there. But so I've seen it. And I've seen a lot of plans where they say, do this exercise, use this weight. I'm like, how the hell do you know? Because I guarantee you, they didn't write that for that person. You know, say, oh, yes, I'm going to determine all the weights that you're going to use for all these exercises without ever actually having seen you in person. Yeah, that seems realistic. But and you see those plans written out as well, you know, in magazines or whatever. Use this weight. And it's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, weight selection is really crucial. And you can't just say, okay, if you are, you know, I'm writing this workout plan for a woman who's new to the gym, so you should be doing dumbbell curls with 15-pound weights. No, I mean, you can't make broad sweeping statements like that. So where it all begins, this conversation has to begin, of course, because nothing is ever really all that simple. So it has to begin from a place that makes it really complicated and a big task to try and figure out. I'm sorry, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. There isn't some formula where you can plug in your height and your weight and your number of years training and figure out what weight you should use for an exercise. It's not that simple. I'm sorry. So if you're looking for the easy way out, you aren't going to find it here. What it comes down to, though, is you have to understand what the exercise is. Like, how is it supposed to feel? How is it supposed to be executed? You know, because you could do, let's say you're relatively new, you could do a squat with 135 pounds. And, you know, if I look at that, I might say, wow, that's great. You make that look easy. Or I may see a video of you just crumple into a heap on the ground. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of ways where you can squat with 135 pounds. It might look good, it might not. But you have to understand what a proper squat is supposed to be. Similarly, like with a curl of some variety, you know, you can't, without seeing what it looks like and seeing, okay, does this person understand what the point of this exercise is? And I know what you're saying right here. How can you not understand the point of a curl? Go to a gym and watch people curl. And you will see that there is a lot of confusion and that people do not understand it. The point of a curl is elbow flexion. And then, of course, elbow extension, conversely. So when you see people, you know, rocking their upper body back and forth and using their shoulders and their lower back to lift the weight, the point of a curl is to work the bicep through elbow flexion. The point of a curl is not to lift the weight up and then set it back down, because there are a lot of ways that you can do that that let the bicep off the hook. So that's what I mean when I say understand the exercise and how it works. You know, the point of a leg extension is knee extension, and then you've got to flex the knee in order to reset for the next rep. The point is not to move the weight stack. And this is the big overarching theme of all this stuff. The point is to work the muscle and understand the articulations that your joints go through, and understand that the point of an exercise, unless you're powerlifting, is never just to move the weight. That's stupid. That is not what bodybuilding's about. That's not what training for aesthetics is about. You know, the point is to work the muscle. And so I always tell people that these exercises, every exercise that you do is its own individual skill. And every time you perform one of those exercises, it's your opportunity to get better at that skill, just like you would with anything else. You know, you practice your golf swing, you get better at it. You practice your swimming stroke, you get better at it. You bake a cake, you get better at it. You perform a bicep curl, and if you're thinking about it, you can get better at it. But treat them as skills and understand that you could be lifting for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you still have the opportunity to improve your skill at each of these movements. But you have to understand what the exercise means, what it's all about, what the purpose of it is. And then it helps to kind of know if you're doing it correctly. And usually, you know, you can kind of tell, you know, if you get a pump in the muscle, great. If you experience extreme fatigue and pain associated with lactic acid buildup in the muscle, great. If you experience soreness in the muscle the day or two after the workout, great. Those are all signs that you probably hit the nail on the head. if your lower back is sore after doing curls, probably not a good sign. Probably not. So there are gray areas here to explore as well. So you don't necessarily need your form to be super robotic and strict 100% of the time in order for it to be effective. And I would say, actually, if you do that, you're probably selling yourself a little short. Kind of over time, learning how to cheat a rep, learning how to, put a little bit of English into a rep towards the end of a set, especially, can really be helpful. But until you master, how to make the muscle work through a proper range of motion and through, using a reasonable pace of repetition as well. These sets, they're not supposed to be a race. You got to take time for the muscle to experience what it's like to be under tension and for you to actually feel that as well. So understanding the purpose of an exercise and how to know when you're doing it correctly is key. And this is one of the reasons why I ask from all my clients for video work. And I know it's a pain in the ass and I hear it all the time. I don't have anybody to go to the gym with me. And I say it all the time, look at my Instagram page. There's tons of videos up there. I've never taken anybody to the gym with me ever. Well, I mean, not ever, but not for video purposes. You can easily do it yourself. I don't need anything that looks, like you hired a cinematographer and a film crew or anything like that. It can look like garbage. And as long as I can kind of see what you're doing and make out, okay, do you understand what the exercise is all about or don't you? That's what I'm looking for. Because that is the beginning of intensity, is understanding the proper mechanics for an exercise. So you've got to start there. Once you do that, and once you have a handle on it, then you kind of start to know. It's kind of like when you learn how to ride a bike. You can listen to somebody tell you how to do it for hours and hours and hours, but until you get on that thing and you fall off and you get back up and you fall off and you get back up and you fall off and you until you do that many times, you're not going to learn how to ride a bike. And similarly, until you understand what an exercise is all about and then you try it and you focus on your execution and what it feels like, you're just not going to know. Is 10 pounds appropriate? Is 20 pounds appropriate? Is 200 pounds appropriate? It's just impossible to know for sure. So invariably, what you want to do is start relatively light, especially if you're new at this. Just err on the side of caution. But then the other thing is, do not underestimate your ability to do work. I've worked with a lot of people who have, they'll do a leg press and they just get used to doing it in the 150 to 200 pound range. And then one day, either on their own or through my suggestion, they try and increase the weight and they find, hey, you know what? I can actually do the same range of motion. I can feel it just as well, but I did it with 350 pounds. I'm like, yeah, something clicked there, didn't it? So the general guideline that I give people, and so you start light and it may take you a little while to kind of get into the right zone, but over time, you're going to find that even if rep ranges change a little bit or you do an exercise at the beginning of a workout and then at the end of a workout a different time, the weights are going to be in the same general range for a given exercise. Like, you're not going to find I curl 40 pounds if it's my first exercise, but if it's my last exercise, I can only do 15. I mean, if you have something like that you're experiencing, I'm going to say that you're probably sandbagging it a little bit towards the end of the workout. So, I'm just going to arbitrarily call out anybody right now who's ever experienced that. So you'll get an idea like, okay, I typically curl in the, 30 to 45 pound range, something like that. I typically squat in the 150 to 225 range. And, those are ranges that you can develop over time through experience. And this is another reason why I always encourage people to keep comprehensive workout logs as well. Really important. So, you'll start relatively, relatively conservative with your weights. And then what I always say is, execute full range of motion. Focus on keeping a consistent pace to your repetition. Don't cheat early on. Don't use a lot of momentum or anything like that. Focus on an isometric squeeze on every rep. So on a curl, you curl it up, you squeeze the bicep while it's up there. Don't just hold it there, but squeeze the bicep a little bit harder. You know, try and make it work a little bit harder while it's in that contracted position. And then release. Get a quality negative. Feel the tension in the muscle as it elongates. And then full range of motion, big stretch, rest briefly between reps. And by briefly, I mean like a half a second. So if you can do all those things, you have a good mind-muscle connection, you can feel the muscle working, you can feel it fatiguing, you can feel the lactic acid build up in there, you hit your rep target, and you don't actually die, then you increase the weight. And what you'll notice as you get started going through this process is you can probably increase the weight several times. So if you do, let's say, 5 sets of an exercise, you may start at 10 pounds, and then say, okay, well, I did that. And then the next set, you're going to keep all those variables consistent, you know, pace of repetition, range of motion, et cetera, but you're going to increase the weight, maybe up to 15. Okay. Hit the rep range, still didn't die. It was a little harder, hurt a little bit more. And you know, we're talking about a good kind of hurt, a muscle hurt, not a joint hurt. So, okay, we're going to try and go up again. We're going to go up to 20. And so 20 is like, whew, okay, I hit the rep range. Those last couple reps were starting to get a little challenging. It hurt a little bit more. And, you know, again, that muscle hurt, that's a good thing. That's what we want. Still didn't die, though, so I'm going to try it again. And then you go up to 25. Okay, that was tough. Whew, yeah, that was an experience. That was interesting. But boy, muscle fatigue was there. That lactic acid, that burn was there. Still hit the rep range. Those last reps were really, really dicey. Okay, well, still didn't die. We're going to try 30. And 30, you know, this set, you start out, it's fine. And by the end of it, you're like, okay, I actually didn't hit the rep target. I fell 1 or 2 reps short. I had to cheat that last one in order to get it up. But I still felt it. You know, the burn was crazy just because you're building off of what you've started with earlier. So you know what it's supposed to feel like because you started conservative and then you just built up slowly from there and you progressed. So what that final outcome tells us, you know, you maybe missed the rep target by 1 or 2. You have to cheat that last rep to get it up. That's the zone we want to operate in. But again, you can't just start there. You have to grow into it. Not necessarily starting at 10 pounds and working up to 30, which is why you keep logs. So, you know, you write in your logbook 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And then in retrospect, you step back from that and you look and you're like, okay, I finished with 30, which was brutally hard, but I started at 10. In retrospect, that was barely even a warm-up set. So what we're doing is recalibrating your scale a little bit, your scale of internal suctitude. And what we want to do is compress everything towards the upper range of that scale. So what that means is next time, would I start at 30? Not necessarily, but I might do a warm-up set at 15, and then my first working set I might do at 20. So my sets the next time around might look like 20, 25, 25, 30, 30. So you're doing a lot more overall work because you're doing a lot more reps in that productive weight range. And again, this is assuming that all of the other variables are relatively constant. And you can also try expanding the end of that range. Like if you want to go for broke, you're feeling good, you're in the zone, I'm going to try 35. All right. That may end up being a bad idea. You know, you may fail after just a handful of reps. Hey, at least you tried. You know, it's unlikely if you make incremental increases like that anything really bad is going to happen. So the worst thing that would happen is you fail a little bit earlier than you want to and you get sad, but you know, you're very unlikely to injure yourself just because, you know, all of the other variables kind of prevent that to some extent. Flukes can always happen, but when you're keeping your pace of repetition relatively slow, when you're skipping momentum, when you're doing full range of motion, etc., you know, all of those things are equalizers in some way. So if you start to remove those things, what you might notice is that instead of capping out at 30 or 35, you might be able to do 45 or 50, but it's less productive. So, you know, you can do more weight, but that's not necessarily what bodybuilding is about. Bodybuilding is about fatiguing the muscle, not about moving as much weight as you possibly can. So when you see people, you know, Ronnie Coleman, CT Fletcher, whatever, who are saying like, you got to lift heavy to get big, bullshit. shit, that is so dumb. I mean, if you like being injured a lot, yeah, that's a recipe to really help you out with that. But that's not what bodybuilding is about. It's about muscular tension, mind-muscle connection, and generating as much fatigue and pushing through your pain threshold as much as you can. And again, when I talk about pain, I'm talking about, you know, that burn, you know, muscular fatigue pain. As much of that as you can ignore as possible, that's growth. You know, one of my favorite quotes from Arnold, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, "I go until my body tells me to stop. And that's when I start counting my reps, because those are the things that really matter. Once you get to that point where your body's like, shut it down, that's growth that happens beyond there." So when it comes to weight selection, again, you've got to have your variables under control. You've got to know what the exercise is all about, what the purpose of it is, how to execute it correctly, not just from like a, you know, I read this in Muscle and Fitness and I saw the start and the finish. Okay, great, cool. Do it. Perform it. Make sure you feel it in the muscle. And that's the big thing. You know, a lot of people will do a Romanian deadlift, for example. This is probably the best example of this. And I was guilty of this for years. And a lot of other people are too. You know, pretty simple. You hold on to something, whether it's a bar or dumbbells, you hinge forward at the hips, you come back up. Great. I can do that all day long. That's a lot of weight. I get really tired. I sweat. My heart rate gets up. Do you feel it in your goddamn hamstrings? That's the question. And almost invariably, unless somebody has really worked on it, the answer is no. So fix that. Focus on your execution. You're doing something wrong. If you don't feel your hamstrings screaming at you on a Romanian deadlift, you're performing the exercise incorrectly. Hamstrings and or glutes, depending on how you want to put the focus on it. You know, with chest, I get a lot of people who they can go for hours and hours on chest day because they're not fatiguing their pecs because of their form. They're just working their anterior delt. They can go for a long time on back day, and eventually it's their grip that gives out, not their back, and it's because they're not engaging the back muscles correctly. And again, this is about skill development. So you've got to start from a place like that before you can really know what weights are appropriate. But again, start conservative, go slow, squeeze hard, full range of motion. If you can do that, you're going to put yourself in a good space. So once again, there's no easy answer. There's no cookie cutter formula to plug this into. You know, it's bodybuilding, it's hard work. And, you know, it's not just the physical work that you put in and the discipline, but the best bodybuilders, the people who achieve the best results, are the ones who throw themselves into this from a research and from a learning perspective. Understanding how your body works, how you can more effectively and more efficiently put it through its paces, and how you can use the knowledge that you learn from that to increase your intensity overall. That's what we're looking for. So, okay. I think I said my piece. That was all without notes, extemporaneously. So, there you go. Maybe I'm a little out of practice here. Maybe I need to get back into my groove a little bit. So, hopefully we'll be back next week. That's the plan, at least. So, once again, happy Friday. If you want to get in touch with me, shoot me an email or anything like that. The website is 5starphysique with 2 R's. Every time you hear star, it's with 2 R's. On Instagram at 5starfit, facebook.com/5starphysique. You can email me Darren, Darin, at 5starfitness.com. So everybody have a great week. We'll check back in with you next week. And in the meantime, just train hard.